Nick Wilson, Spencer German back on Afternoon Drive. Obviously, we spent a lot of the show today talking about Game 3 of the ALCS. Guardians-Yankees coming up here in a short bit here in downtown Cleveland. Be really nice to get the win, but we actually have a guy on the line right now that has some pretty in-depth experience in moments like this, and I can't wait to pick his brain. He's retired now, but he'll never be retired in our hearts. The great Corey Kluber joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And, of course, you guys can check out his podcast, Casa de Klubs, wherever you get it. So we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on former Cleveland Indians pitcher, former ace, former Cy Young winner, now hosting his own podcast, Casa de Klubs, which I've watched way too much of on TikTok alone. Corey Kluber joins us. Corey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I got to say, I didn't know you could talk this well, dude. You're really good at the whole podcasting thing. Did you have any idea at how? Because honestly, you just seem so damn easygoing and easy to talk to and open in that forum. Did you have any idea that you would have this kind of talent?
I definitely don't think it was what I thought I'd be doing after baseball. But, you know, I think that I would compare it a lot to kind of having conversations in a locker room, which is probably a much more comfortable setting for me than, you know, sitting up at a podium and with a microphone in front of me in front of, you know, how many people asking me questions type deal. So I think that's maybe why it maybe feels a little more natural to me.
So what for you has been, you know, like, is this about staying in the game? Is it about just another avenue? What about it really brought you to the table and made it something that was interesting and palatable for you?
Yeah, there's probably definitely an element of that there. You know, I didn't retire because I didn't like baseball anymore. It's just something that I didn't think I was capable of doing to the level that I expected of myself anymore. You know, that sort of thing. So I think finding a way to be able to stay involved and, you know, kind of fill a little bit of that void has been nice for me. But I also think that just from my experiences, from my feelings, from conversations I've had with plenty of people throughout my career, you know, I thought that a lot of guys have interesting stories. They have things to say, experiences they've come across that I thought maybe a lot of people might not necessarily be aware of and would find really interesting. And this seemed like a good avenue to kind of give guys the floor and let them tell their story.
Well, like I said, I think you're doing an awesome job at it. And, you know, I'm certainly not trying to be condescending in any way, that I'm just so surprised at just how natural you are and how much fun. You know, the Greg Maddux clip, I think I've watched about four times now. You're talking about Greg Maddux and, you know, all these, you know, I'm helping the viral quotient of this. But just in, you know, big picture, you know, last year was your last year. You were in Boston last. You know, you pitched out of the pen there. In terms of retirement, I mean, you got Casa de Klubs, but how is that adjustment to retirement going?
I'd say it's been overall smooth. You know, I'd be lying if I said there wasn't days where I missed the routine of a season, or, you know, miss, like we talked about with the show, kind of missed the interactions in the clubhouse on a day-to-day basis. You know, I probably went through a period of time initially, especially when I didn't really have much of an idea or of much direction of what I was going to be doing to kind of fill the days besides driving kids to school, where, you know, things could feel pretty boring at times. But I think I've learned to find different ways to kind of correct that, the show being one of them. And so, yeah, I think I'm trying to get into a sort of new groove in a different stage of life.
Well, you know, I don't. The Guardians are a pitcher short right now. I know you say you're retired, but can I get like four innings out of you, maybe in like a game four situation tomorrow? Not sure if you're in the Cleveland area.
I think I'm still recovering from the three pitches I threw for the Savannah Bananas two months ago. So not sure they want me getting anywhere near that mound.
Corey Kluber, Casa de Klubs. If you guys haven't listened to the podcast, it is a lot of fun. And a lot of great inside stories in baseball. Not just inside stories, but kind of, you know, getting a different kind of perspective here. Former Guardians, former Cleveland pitcher, Corey Kluber on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So let's bring it to right now. The Guardians down 2-0. One theory out there is the lights are too bright for the Cleveland Guardians in this series. Do you think that's what's going on? Do you think that's part of the struggles for the Guardians so far?
You know, I haven't watched every pitch of the first two games. I've paid attention to the first two games, and that's not really how I would categorize it. You know, I think it's the margins, especially when you get down to the final four teams, the margins between wins and losses aren't all that big more often than not. I guess the other series, they probably have been pretty big with three blowouts, but you know, relatively speaking, I feel like they've been two pretty close games thus far, and I think that aside from maybe beating themselves, so to speak, a little bit with walks and maybe some defensive miscues, it really hasn't been, in my mind, you know, too much out of hand so far. So I wouldn't say the lights are too bright. I think it's just a matter of probably cleaning up those things a little bit, which I think is what they would say their style of baseball is playing a good, clean game and, you know, getting a lead over their bullpen. That's probably still the same recipe for success, no matter what the score of the series is.
So when you're down 0-2 in a series, or when you're down in a series, what are the things that have to happen to just make this feel? Because I'll be honest with you. I was telling people off the ledge after Tuesday night saying, guys, they're just down 2-0. Yeah, it hasn't gone the way you wanted it to, but you're coming home. You still have every opportunity. And the deluge of the series is over and the sky is falling and, you know, bleep the Dolans. You don't have to keep that one. But, like, the amount of panic that comes from that, like, what are the Guardians up against being down 0-2 in this series?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's the guys in that clubhouse not getting caught up in outside noise, you know. You don't get to this point without being a confident group and believing in yourselves. And, you know, if that starts to waver, that makes the task a lot harder than what it actually is. But it sounds cliche, but it's really just, it's doing the little things and, you know, winning each at bat, winning each inning, and that turns into a couple innings, and that turns into a game, and then next thing you know, you're right back in the series. And you know, I think in the playoffs, especially, momentum's a big thing. Unfortunately, I've been on the wrong side of that momentum getting out of hand, and you know, it's hard to correct it. So it doesn't take much, I feel like, to kind of sway the momentum of a series.
Corey Kluber on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Now this podcast, Casa de Klub. So Matthew Boyd right now, he is, you know, they signed him, I believe, in early July. It's a guy coming off Tommy John surgery and all of a sudden became one of your most important pitchers. He has given you chances in each one of the games that he started in. But what's going through the mind of Matthew Boyd as he's prepping for what he might feel like, and certainly Guardians fans probably feel like, is the most important start of his career?
I mean, any human's aware of the circumstances. You know, anybody would be lying to you if they told you they weren't. I think that the big task at hand, so to speak, I think, in my opinion, when you're in that spot, is not trying to, even though there's a sense of it being more important, not trying to do more than you're capable of or more than you're accustomed to while you're out there on the mound. You know, it still comes down to executing pitches. It still comes down to changing speed, keeping guys off balance, all those same things. That stuff applies whether it's October or whether it's June. You know, I think that if I had to imagine, Stephen Boats would be pretty aggressive and try to utilize that bullpen the first chance he gets, especially if they can get a lead. So I think it's just trying to hold the offense at bay as long as you're out there, and then hand it over to those guys.
Corey, I'm pretty sure I've interviewed you one or two times previously, but I'm even more sure that I've never asked you this question. Did you like the nickname Klubot?
I was indifferent about it. I don't think that I disliked it as much as maybe some people thought, and I don't think that it was my favorite thing in the world, but I think it's just, there's a nickname that somebody gave me, and it is what it is.
Well, I was asking you because, you know, that kind of, for some people, I think it summed up who they felt like you were watching you pitch your steely.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Meaner, and you know, then you go to Jose Ramirez, your former teammate, and everybody calls him Hosey. And it's funny because that's another name that encapsulates, well, like, just like, I don't even know how to describe it, how people see Hosey as a player and his personality. Why is Jose, like, what makes him capable of doing what he does year in, year out, being, 30 threat every year and a 6 WAR player every year?
I mean, in the simplest terms I could tell you, he's just an extremely talented player with a good work ethic, always trying to improve. You put all those things together and that's what you get. I think we're, I actually really liked what Booney said the other day when he was asked about it. I saw his answer about, you know, for people within baseball, Jose Ramirez is not underrated at all. And I think everybody is well aware of how good he is. All the things that you said, the perennial all-star, the doing things that very few people in the history of baseball have done before. And I think, like I said, it just comes back to, number one, having a lot of talent, and then number two, working to hone your craft and always looking for ways to get better and improve.
Corey, I think the first time I became aware of Casa de Clubes was the Baker Mayfield clip where he talked about, you know, the idea of winning a Brown Super Bowl and how big that would be, and how big just Cleveland winning another championship would be. And I'm just curious, as a guy who, you guys were so close in 2016, you know, we're almost a decade removed from that, if you can believe that. But what do you think a World Series win would mean for the Guardians organization, for Cleveland fans, and for the state of baseball in Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was in Cleveland when, you know, the Cavs won, and just knowing how passionate of a sports town it is, witnessing what that meant to the fans, to the people of Cleveland. I think that, you know, whether it was another NBA Finals or a World Series or a Super Bowl, I think that it would mean a lot to the city, a lot to the people, and it would reward that enthusiasm regardless of it. I think that obviously the baseball team having one of the longer droughts in Major League Baseball maybe puts it under a little bit bigger scope, but I think that the sports fans in general in Cleveland are and probably always will be hungry for the next championship.
Does 2016 still sting for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that, you know, anybody that plays wants to be the last team standing at the end of the year and win a World Series, and that was the closest that I came to doing that, and unfortunately weren't quite able to get across the finish line. But at the same time, I think, you know, if you take a step back and look at kind of what we encountered to get to that point, you know, the way that we got to being one game away, no doubt it stings, but I think it's also something that we can all be proud of.
I definitely think so, though I'll be honest with you, and I want your take on this. Every time I see Bill Murray or Eddie Vedder, I think that of them celebrating on Cleveland's field, and it still kind of pisses me off.
I just try not to watch any clips of that game anymore.
Yeah, I was at the library yesterday, and they have a book. Tom Verducci wrote a book about the 2016 Chicago Cubs, and I picked it up because I was like, oh, I'll learn things about, you know, one of my five favorite teams ever, the 2016 Guardians. And I read like one part of the chapter on that World Series and got mad and put it down and just walked away. I don't think I got anything from the library. That's how pissed off it was. And I'll be honest with you, I really love Bill Murray and Eddie Vedder, and I still have to kind of compartmentalize that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably that passion that we were just talking about with Cleveland and their fans and their sports and stuff. You know, whether it's that heartbreak or a different heartbreak in the city's history with sports, I think that, you know, those moments are probably hard to ever erase.
Corey, really good stuff, man. I really want to continue to encourage you on Casa de Clubes. I think that is something that I think Guards fans are going to love. I think you're pretty darn good at it and pretty natural at it. So we appreciate your time, man. We wish you the best of luck here. Hopefully, the next time we talk to you, maybe the Guardians are either back in this series, have won this series, have won a World Series. But regardless, best of luck to you and the fam.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Former Cleveland pitcher Corey Kluber on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Great stuff with him. We'll react to what he had to say. Also, we continue to get ready for Game 3, including talking about the Matthew Boyd effect on 92.3 The Fan.